At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Family-owned since 1897, we've built our reputation on trust, transparency, and innovation. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys.
During the season of Audi, drive home a new 2025 Audi Q5 for $599 for 36 months with $4506 down.
The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 12/125.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Will somebody tell me if we're supposed to start?
Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is done. Oh, what a pass. Doncic, perfection there on the assist.
A little magic from Doncic.
Stafford takes the shoulder, takes a shot downfield. It is caught by Nakua. He pinged it on his shoulder and made the catch.
One of a kind player. One of a kind season. Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club.
Diving in on the count, LeBron James at the buzzer.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The lights out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the jello is jiggling.
What is up, guys, and welcome to the LA Sports Roundup Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Andrade. We're sitting here recording live Wednesday, November 26, 2025. I hope you guys are having a great week leading up to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is always one of my favorite holidays. Well, one, because of the food. Let's get that damn straight. It's the food, and then the family. Those are priorities right there. But I hope you guys are going to spend your Thanksgiving with family, friends, whoever your loved ones may be, and just eating as much food as possible, getting stuffed and gaining 20 pounds. That is what Thanksgiving is all about. On today's podcast, we're going to talk some Clippers. We're going to talk some Rams. They had a big win last Sunday over Tampa Bay, and we're also going to, of course, talk about my Los Angeles Lakers, and boy, there has been quite a bit of news coming out. Not really so much about the basketball, but what's been happening in the front office. Before we get into the Lakers, if you guys, for all my pro wrestling fans out there, if you guys have not checked out the latest Wrestling with Ryan episode, me and Ryan sit down and we talk a little bit about Survivor Series, War Games, and we give predictions about what's going to be happening this Saturday night in San Diego for Survivor Series, War Games. So for all my pro wrestling fans out there, go out, check the archives. It's already up there, and just give it all a listen if you want to listen to our predictions about Survivor Series. And lastly, I want to thank you guys who are continuing to subscribe to the YouTube channel, our Instagram, our TikTok, all of those social media channels, X, find us at Lace 'Em Up Sports Media. You guys, I want to thank you so much for your continued support, and we have a lot of exciting things coming your way. All right, so now speaking of the Lakers, last Thursday there was some big bombshell news coming out of the front office. So what I'm going to do right here, guys, I'm going to read the ESPN article from last Thursday, and I'm going to basically break it down in two pieces. The Los Angeles Lakers are reorganizing their basketball operations department and have fired executives Joey and Jesse Buss from their respective front office positions, effective immediately, the brothers told ESPN's Sham Charania on Thursday. The Lakers are also dismissing much of their scouting department beyond the Buss brothers, including Sean Buss. I had no idea there was a Sean Buss. Aaron Jackson, Moses Zapata, Ken Polester, sources told ESPN's Dave McMenamin. Sean Buss shares the same mother as Joey and Jesse. See, you learn something new every day. When reached for a comment, a Lakers spokesman confirmed that the team had moved on from Joey and Jesse and had no further statement beyond that. Joey and Jesse have had key Lakers scouting roles for the past decade, helping finding players such as Austin Reeves, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., and Max Christie. Joey Buss's specific role was alternate governor and vice president of research and development. Jesse Buss was the Lakers' assistant general manager. We are extremely honored to have been part of this organization for the last 20 seasons, Joey and Jesse Buss told ESPN in a statement. Thank you to Laker Nation for embracing our family every step of the way. We wish things could have ended differently with our time ending with this team. At times like this, we wish we could ask our dad what he would think about it all. Their older sister, Jeannie, will continue to serve as the Lakers' primary team governor for the foreseeable future. In quotations here, I'm going to read a statement. Dr. Buss's idea was for Joey and I to run basketball operations one day, Jesse Buss told ESPN, referring to their father, Jerry Buss. But Jeannie has effectively kept herself in place with her siblings fired. Wow. If those are not shots fired in itself, I don't know what is, because wow. I think those are some angry statements coming from the brothers themselves. Joey, 41, and Jesse, being 37, are younger siblings of Jeannie, who is 64. She also had a public falling out with her older brothers, Johnny and Jim, in 2017 after she removed Jim as president of Lakers basketball operations and replaced him with Magic Johnson. A week after that removal, Johnny and Jim called for an emergency meeting of the Lakers shareholders to elect a new board of directors, prompting Jeannie's lawyers to file a temporary restraining order against the elder brothers in Los Angeles Superior Court. Joey and Jesse will maintain minority ownership shares of the Lakers. They announced in September that they are launching Buss Sports Capital, an investment firm aimed at identifying acquisitions and partnerships across the global sports landscapes. The two brothers have honed their careers with the Lakers, focusing on talent acquisition and development, with Joey serving as a team president and CEO of the South Bay Lakers, the Lakers' G League affiliate, and Jesse involved in the draft process all year long as the Lakers' director of scouting. Jerry Buss, who died in 2013, purchased the Lakers from Jack Kent Cooke in 1979 in a $67.5 million transaction that also included the Los Angeles Kings and the Forum. The Buss family sold the majority ownership of the Lakers to Mark Walter this past June, which that sale had a $10 billion valuation, which was approved by the NBA Board of Governors last month. All right. Lots to break down there, guys. All right, let's start with Jesse Buss's role as the director of scouting for the Los Angeles Lakers, or I guess the former director of scouting. I think in somewhat, you can't really blame Jesse at all for the work that he's done, because look at the guys that they mentioned here. Austin Reeves, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, on and on and on, Max Christie. Those are guys that have had significant careers already in the NBA, and any scouting department that have had the list of those guys come out, I mean, that is in itself, you can say they've done a great job. But what's important to know here is that we're gonna backtrack a little bit, but it's gonna all come together, that the Buss family in itself is a family run, you know, they were running the Lakers like a family run operation, and with that they were not capitalizing on investing as much money into the team as possible. Yeah, the Buss family was very, very wealthy and is still very, very wealthy, considering that, you know, they just sold the team. But before that, they were very wealthy still. But because they were a family-run operation, they were looking to do things on the cheap. They were not investing into the scouting department as other NBA franchises would be investing in. Case in point, look at the Boston Celtics, who just hired Drew Nichols to be their executive director of player personnel. It's one of those things where you can bring in a guy like that, and you know he has years and years and years of experience working for a multitude of NBA teams, college teams, and just experience all around, where he can, and then in return, he can also bring in guys who have also had experience all throughout the NBA and college, and maybe EuroLeague as well. Bring those guys in. And as opposed to the Lakers, are just utilizing Jesse Buss's friends and connections, where it's just one-sided and it's not very global. You know, that's the part where a team needs to be building into their front office, building into their scouting department, bringing people from around the world to help guide this direction where they want to go. to me, the fact that the Lakers had another bus brother in the scouting department in itself just shows that they're looking out for their own best interests as opposed to the Lakers' best interests, if that makes sense. Their best interest being saving money and also looking out for their family members, giving them jobs. And although you could probably consider a bare bones scouting department, they have had success. I think the point we're trying to make here is that the Lakers could have done a much better job at building around their scouting department, bringing in people from outside to help build this thing as opposed to just relying on Jesse Buss's vision and also trying to do things on the cheap. And now Joey Buss. Joey Buss ran the LA Lakers G League affiliate, the South Bay Lakers. And I can tell you, as a former South Bay Lakers season ticket holder, they did an amazing job running that organization. The South Bay Lakers, being the G League affiliate of the LA Lakers, I feel like there's not too many franchises, maybe the Boston Celtics or the New York Knicks, like a historical great franchise, maybe the Golden State Warriors, that can possibly do this. But there's few far in between that can actually build upon their actual team's history, the NBA team's history, and kind of utilize it into their G League affiliate. And that's exactly what Joey Buss did for the South Bay Lakers. He made it a total fan experience, utilizing the team's history and incorporating it into what the South Bay Lakers were trying to build. The South Bay Lakers would play their games at the UCLA Health Training Facility, where the Lakers practice, and they would play their games in a much more intimate setting as opposed to Crypto.com Arena. If you bought tickets to a South Bay Lakers game, it was professional basketball. It was guys competing, guys you are familiar with on the South Bay Lakers, competing for contracts, but you could see professional basketball at a much lower cost and also at a much intimate surrounding. So I loved my experience. There's a couple times where at the end of the season, they brought in Magic Johnson when he was still running the show as the GM. They brought in Magic Johnson, Luke Walton, Rob Pelinka to meet the season ticket members. Also, that John Ireland, the play-by-play voice of the Lakers on the radio, they brought him in to just greet fans all the time. There was the cheerleaders there who were the cheerleaders for the South Bay Lakers and the LA Lakers. And then also, we got to tour the facility, we got to look at championship rings, we got to look at all the banners, the trophies. There's so many opportunities where we got to meet players from the Lakers past and incorporate that with the South Bay Lakers. Heck, I mean, even one time LeBron James was at a game back in 2019. I was asked to shoot the half-court shot at the end of the third quarter. Of course, I missed. But LeBron was sitting there at a table with, I think it was Kyle Kuzma, Rajon Rondo, KCP, a bunch of those guys from 2019 were there. And LeBron's just sitting there at a table. And of course, I missed the half-court shot. But then they asked me to do a second-chance three-pointer to take one. And I line-drived it in somehow. One shot, one opportunity, and I made it. I was such in my glory, I pointed at LeBron James, and he gave me the hang-loose sign. That's something that's really cool. Like, not every franchise can provide an experience like that for their fans. And I really think that's at the helm of Joey Buss wanting to include the LA Lakers historical franchise into what South Bay was trying to build. But not only that, you got to see Alex Caruso play. And even currently, Bronny James is in the G League right now playing for the South Bay Lakers. So, you know, they're integrating at times, you know, guys who are on the main roster and bringing them down or bringing them up. And it's a really cool experience. I mean, look at Drew Timmy was just on the Lakers, South Bay Lakers right now. He just got called up to the LA Lakers. So it's an experience in which it's all connected. And I really think that's Joey Buss's vision. And so for that, you can't say that he did a bad job at all, because he did an amazing job. Now, I've given them their flowers, each of them. And now this is where I think things kind of fall apart here, and it kind of goes into the statement that they gave ESPN. Their statement being, Dr. Buss's idea was for Joey and I to run basketball operations one day, but effectively Jeannie has effectively kept herself in place with her siblings fired. See, okay, that in itself, Dr. Buss's idea was for Joey and I to run basketball operations one day. Okay, great. That was your dad's dying wish, right? It was for his two sons to take over. But you know what? That's not reality, okay? They're coming off like two spoiled brats here. Just because your dad was the greatest team owner in sports history does not give you the right that you had to have the opportunity to one day run the franchise, because that's not reality. Your dad was great. And yes, you have done a good job at the positions you were given. Hence the words given. You were given these positions because you were born into the family. But that does not give you the right to one day run the franchise. It doesn't mean that you haven't worked hard. It doesn't mean that you're not deserving of any position. But what it does mean is that you're not entitled to one day run the franchise like you think you are. Now, this statement that you gave here as well, Jeannie has effectively kept herself in place with her siblings fired. Yeah, guess what? The same thing goes for Jeannie as well. She's played her cards right, definitely. She was tied at the hip with her father, and her father basically gave her the keys to the kingdom to run the franchise, and she has done her job to keep herself in that position. That's good for her. She has done her job at playing her cards right, and she is in the chair of running the Lakers, and still is, as Mark Walter is effectively the owner now, okay? But that's not her God-given right as well, right? She just has played her cards right because, honestly, she's the older one. And we all know if you guys were in the same position, you probably would have done the same as well. Now, look, going back to your father's dying wish, obviously, that was his dying wish as the team owner, but in reality, it falls apart, right? Any franchise or any company that has siblings that are running the franchise or team or company after their parent passes away, it never ends well. It never ends well. There's always going to be bickering and fighting, and the family's going to fall apart. Just case in point in this example here, the Buss family has effectively, the siblings, have fallen apart because of the Lakers franchise. Because Dr. Buss has wanted his kids to run the franchise, it has given them this weird entitlement, thinking that like each of them should be the shot caller. When in fact, I mean, that logic in itself is horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible logic to think that a team of siblings is going to run a franchise effectively, because not everyone is going to be on the same page here, right? To run a business effectively, there needs to be one person in charge and people following that order, right? But if you have a group of siblings trying to think that they're the top dog in every situation, nothing is going to get done. And case in point is, look at what happened in 2014 when Jim Buss guaranteed him the Lakers to be in the playoffs after 3 years. It didn't happen. And what happened? He fired himself, basically, because he basically told Jeannie, hey, look, if the Lakers are not in the playoffs, I'm going to resign. And Jeannie took him for his word for that. And guess what happened? The Lakers were not in the playoffs in 3 years. And basically, she fired him a few months later after that. So it's never going to end well. They ended up going to court. It was a big mess that spilled out in 2017 after Jeannie took full ownership of the Lakers. Now, what seems to be apparent here is that each of the Buss siblings think that what's best for the Lakers is what's best for themselves. And that is not logical. That is not the truth, and that is not reality. What's best for the Lakers is having an owner separated from the Buss family that is a billionaire, that can put as much assets around the team as possible and to fulfill each department in order to have the best success the Lakers can be. Not bickering with your sister about who's in control because she's playing with this toy and I want that toy. That used to be my toy. It seems like that's what it is. It was very apparent for many years that the Lakers needed to sell the franchise. For many, many years, even after winning the 2020 championship, they needed to sell the franchise to just not only stop this kind of, well, this is my team, no, this is your team, kind of he said, she said kind of bullshit, but also they needed to structure the franchise in a way in which, in the long-term landscape of things, that the team was going to be successful in many different areas for years and years and years, probably decades to come. And that was never going to happen with the Buss family still running the franchise, doing things as cheaply as they can, and trying to minimize each department as possible in order to save on money. And it was the best decision that Jeannie Buss ever came up with in terms of selling the Lakers to Mark Walter. Mark Walter being part of the Guggenheim baseball management team that turned the Dodgers around and to make them World Series champions, back-to-back World Series champions. Before that, before the Guggenheim group and Mark Walter took ownership of the Dodgers were, I mean, they were always like an historic team, but they were not winning. They were not winning whatsoever. I mean, they were for decades under the McCourts. The McCourts were the previous owners. They were a married couple. They were going through a very, very public divorce while owning the team, and it was very, very messy. And they were not inputting money into the team as much as possible. In fact, they were doing more things on the cheap than the Lakers are currently. But the McCourts were not not good at all in terms of ownership, and the team was struggling. And so for that, you know, when the Guggenheim management group took over, they just turned things around. I mean, it wasn't overnight, but they were consistently making the playoffs year by year. And then you talk about the Mookie Betts trade, bringing in Freddie Freeman, bringing in Tyler Glasnow, and then, of course, Shohei Ohtani, and then Yamamoto. I mean, look at those are the core players of the Dodgers right now. And that does not happen without the Guggenheim group taking ownership of the Dodgers and making them into a powerhouse. And, you know, for Jeannie Buss to seemingly turn the franchise over to Mark Walter, that was the best decision for Lakers fans and for the franchise. And I get why the Buss family, you know, brothers are upset, because, you know, they felt like they're inherently entitled, but that's not reality. What's reality and what's best for the Lakers is a guy like Mark Walter taking ownership of the Lakers and turning the franchise into a powerhouse, just like he turned the Dodgers into a powerhouse. And Walter's already making his stamp on the Lakers, not only firing the Buss brothers, but then also he's bringing in Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi, two guys that are pivotal in the success of the Dodgers front office. You know, they're two guys that have used analytics to the max and have had much success running baseball organizations. Friedman was with the Tampa Bay Rays. Zaidi was with the San Francisco Giants, I believe. I don't think his run with the Giants was too good, but coming to the Dodgers, it's been pretty dang successful. And so you have guys that are so good at running analytics. And yes, that's baseball and this is basketball, two different sports. And obviously, there's not a salary cap in baseball, and there's a definite salary cap in basketball. But I think the principles stand the same, in which you can use analytics to help build this team. And I don't know if the Lakers were ever using analytics, to be honest. I mean, and I'm sure they were at in some points. I mean, how could they not? But it was never discussed or talked about in any platform saying how good the Lakers are at analytics. No, that's something I feel like they've lacked in, besides, you know, the ownership stuff. And so bringing these guys in to be advisors for the Lakers front office, that's going to be pivotal in turning the Lakers around and building around Luka Doncic for the next 10 years.
At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Family-owned since 1897, we've built our reputation on trust, transparency, and innovation. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys.
During the season of Audi, drive home a new 2025 Audi Q5 for $599 for 36 months with $4506 down.
The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 12/125.
All right, let's take a little break and let's pay the bills. So as you guys know, I've been on a fitness journey the last several months, and as an avid CrossFitter, I'm constantly looking for different proteins to try. And I don't know about you, but I hate protein powders that have that bland, chalky taste. And that's why I'm taking the time out through today's podcast to introduce to you Clear Whey Protein Powder, a refreshing high-protein drink that transforms your post-workout routine. Crafted with pure whey protein isolate, this innovative formula offers a light and flavorful alternative to traditional protein shakes. With zero lactose and zero sugar, it caters to those seeking a clean, transparent approach to fitness nutrition without compromising on taste or quality. My personal favorite flavor is strawberry watermelon. It has that crisp summertime flavor, perfect for your taste buds. But you can also try wild blue raspberry. Both are incredibly delicious. And with 20 grams of protein per serving, it's fulfilling my CrossFit needs. That's why Clear Whey Protein stands out with its crystal clear appearance and refreshing flavors, making it the perfect companion for your active lifestyle. Whether you're hitting the gym or need a protein boost during the day, this drink seamlessly integrates into your routine. And it's super easy to make. All you gotta do is just add water, mix it up a little bit, and boom, you got yourself a delicious protein drink, and say goodbye to all the bloating from all the other protein products out there. And best yet, I'm offering 20% off to listeners of today's podcast when you go to clearprotein.com. That's K-L-E-A-R protein.com. When you go to checkout, all you have to do is put in our discount code. That is LACEMUP. That's L-A-C-E-E-M-U-P. That's code LACEMUP when you go to checkout, and you'll get 20% off Clear Protein products. Elevate your daily protein intake with confidence and clarity. Choose Clear Whey Protein Powder and experience the difference today. There's nothing better than coming home from a long day of work, turning on the game, and having a cold beverage in hand. Just sometimes a beer doesn't cut it. And that's why I'm introducing to you today Cannabis Seltzer from shop.getgoodsfeel.com. It's a redefining refreshment with its innovative range of THC-infused beverages. Founded to offer a new era of relaxation, Good Feels crafts drinks that provide a consistent, clean, and enjoyable experience. Each product is meticulously formulated with high-quality, natural ingredients, ensuring an uplifting mood, without the drawbacks of traditional THC consumption. Good Feels believes in the power of nature and wellness, delivering beverages that harmonize taste and tranquility. These drinks are designed for those seeking a balanced lifestyle, blending seamlessly into social gatherings, relaxing evenings, or any moment that calls for a touch of calm. Their commitment to transparency and quality is evident in every sip, making them a trustworthy choice for those looking to explore the benefits of THC as a great-tasting cannabis seltzer. Don't call me Santa Claus, but today I'm offering my listeners 20% off at checkout when you go to shop.getgoodfeels.com. Use our promo code LACEMUP at checkout, and you can enjoy exclusive savings when you try these delicious flavors as blood orange, pineapple mango, grapefruit, or even the beverage enhancers such as lemonade and much more. Heck, even get the bundle while you're at it too. These drinks are the perfect combination for watching your LA teams. Go to shop.getgoodfeels.com. You have to be 21 plus only to buy. And remember, use our promo code at checkout. That's L-A-C-E-E-M-U-P. That's LACEMUP. And ease your mind with cannabis seltzer beverages. That's cannabis seltzer from shop.getgoodfeels.com. Last night, the LA Lakers defeated the LA Clippers 135-118 in their NBA Cup group stage matchup, and a pretty decisive victory for the LA Lakers. The Lakers sit at 13-4 in the Western Conference, and the Clippers are all the way at 5-13. Let's talk a little Clippers basketball. I know we don't do much of Clippers basketball here on the LA Sports Roundup, mainly because I'm a huge Lakers fan and I hate the Clippers. I'm not afraid to admit that. But the Clippers are all the way near every category in the NBA as we stand. They're near the bottom. You know, they're on defensive efficiency, they're ranked 26th. Offense efficiency, they're ranked 21st. And while the Lakers sit at second place in the Western Conference, the Clippers are all the way down at number 13 in the Western Conference, only behind the Dallas Mavericks and the New Orleans Pelicans. I think when the Clippers decided to part ways with Paul George, there was a lot of, weirdly, there was some excitement in them parting ways with Paul George, because Paul George didn't deliver with Kawhi Leonard on what was supposed to be an NBA championship for the Los Angeles Clippers, the first of their franchise that never got delivered on. And I think there was some happiness in terms of getting rid of Paul George, and I don't know why. I don't know why they're happy moving on from Paul George, although, you know, he was becoming injury prone at that time. There was a lot of sense in Clippers fans thinking that they didn't need the guy, and not that they need him right now, but I think right there, it's very telling in a sense of what the Clippers fans' expectations were of the team, thinking that they could compete without a star like Paul George, and thinking not thinking in reality. And that's certainly what the front office of the Los Angeles Clippers did this past summer, when they basically went to a retirement home here in Los Angeles and picked out a couple people that could possibly play for the LA Clippers. And that's what they did when they signed Bradley Beal. They brought in Brooke Lopez, and then also re-signing Chris Paul to end his career with the Los Angeles Clippers. And they also had some key guys going out as well. You know, one of their main guys, a guy that was a starter at times, and then a key guy coming off the bench was Norman Powell. That was Norman Powell was tremendous with the Clippers. He brought a lot of excitement, some energy whenever he was in the games. Yeah, he was undersized for a big man, but seemingly he always brought the spark for the Clippers and he got the job done. They traded him to Miami, and that was a huge mistake for the Clippers to do, getting rid of Norman Powell, a guy that was kind of like the lifeblood of that team at times. But losing Norman Powell and then bringing in all these aged superstars to an already aged team, that was not a recipe for success. Case in point, look at the 2021-2022 Los Angeles Lakers, when we had not only LeBron, AD, but we brought back Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, we had Carmelo Anthony, well, we had Russell Westbrook on that team. That was a team that, look, on paper, from 2014-15, that could have been Team USA from that era, right? Definitely an all-NBA team from that era. But almost a decade later, those guys were not in the best shape possible. I mean, they were at a declining age. We also had Trevor Ariza on that team, who was very old. That team did not even make the playoffs. I think we won 34 games. Because why? We were injury-prone. And the team just fell apart. We could not sustain anything on defense. Our offense was a mess. And we ended up firing Frank Vogel at the end of that season. It's very apparent that now Kawhi Leonard, at an advanced stage in his NBA career, is not the superstar he used to be. Now, granted, he was great during the playoffs last year. The Clippers only made it to, I believe, the first round or second round, whatever it was. And he was great. He was great for them. But that was coming off years of him being severely injury-prone and not even playing. And so then you take that in account. Kawhi Leonard's not the guy that he used to be. They're relying on James Harden, who has had a great offensive year so far, but doesn't play a lick of defense anymore. Not that he was ever known for his defense. It's all falling apart, and they're not even close to being cohesive on offense, and not even close to being able to defend the soul on defense. What the front office was thinking in terms of putting these guys together and thinking they could have one last hope of having a championship run, that was completely off base. And time and time again, when teams have put together aging stars, it never ends right. It never does. And I think what I just mentioned with the Lakers is going to happen with the Clippers. They're not very good. They're 5-13 right now. And I cannot see things getting any better for them right now. And in fact, I think I can possibly see this becoming a tank season for them. It's very, very possible that come another month from now, they're going to start unloading guys' contracts. They're going to start looking for trades for James Harden. They're going to start looking to deal Kawhi Leonard. And I didn't even mention this. Look at all the controversy that happened before the season started with the whole Kawhi Leonard tree planting and Steve Ballmer, his involvement in that company that they're under fire from, in terms of, did they pay Kawhi Leonard under the salary cap in terms of trying to maneuver it. And see, that when you have something like that come out before the season, it's always, I feel like it's an omen on the team, and the team can never sustain success after that. And I think, you know, considering that they're old as hell right now, they do not play any lick of defense, their offense is a mess, this is a disaster of a season for the Clippers. And what needs to happen immediately is they need to start unloading some contracts, finding trades to bring in younger guys. That's it. The more younger you can get, the more draft assets you can get. That's the way to build an NBA franchise in terms of building it from the ground up. You want to get to a championship level? It's not going to guarantee you to that, but the first thing you can do is start offloading these horrible contracts that you have and try to get as much assets as possible. Now, it's going to be very difficult. I'm not sure many teams are going to be trying to be trading for James Harden or Kawhi Leonard at this point, but you can try. You can definitely try. You know, what else do you have to lose? You're 5-13. Try to get off these contracts as quick as you can, because this season is going to be a wash. Basically, the only good thing for the LA Clippers this season is they're going to be able to celebrate Chris Paul in his final season. That's it. It's the retirement tour for Chris Paul. He's going to be able to retire in a Clippers jersey, And that's the only thing good that's going to come out of the season, because other than that, they're going to be bottom of the barrel and they're not going anywhere. So I think what they need to do is start unloading some contracts, finding some trades, bringing some younger guys in, and just start clean from there. That also, I think Tyronn Lue, I mean, it's unfortunate to say, he probably will get fired at some point. It's just, that's the landscape of the NBA in terms of coaching. Coaches get fired all the time now, deservingly or not deservingly, and it happens all the time. And so I predict that the Clippers will start unloading contracts, and then two, they're going to let go of Tyronn Lue. All right, it is now time for our weekly Rams report. The Rams delivered a dominant performance on Sunday Night Football, exploding for a 34-7 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Quarterback Matthew Stafford was sharp, passing for 273 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. The guy has not thrown an interception since Week 3 and has dealt 30 touchdowns all season long and only 2 interceptions all season long. He is a front runner for MVP. It is one of the most exciting and most thorough seasons of Matthew Stafford's career, and he's most definitely an MVP candidate. During the win on Sunday, Matthew Stafford connected twice with wide receiver Davante Adams and once with tight end Colby Parkinson on a set of touchdowns. And on the ground and through the air, the Rams offense controlled the game, and defense was a force to be reckoned with as cornerback Kobe Durant set the tone early by ripping the ball away for a pick six as they pitched a shutdown effort against the Bucks. And the Bucks looked flat. Their offense could only muster a total of 193 yards, and quarterback Baker Mayfield left at halftime with a shoulder injury and was later diagnosed with a low-grade sprain. And backup Teddy Bridgewater struggled just as much to spark any kind of comeback for the Bucks. And by halftime, the Rams built a 31-7 lead, and they never looked back. That win extends their streak to 6 straight victories and bolsters their grip on the first place mark on the NFC West. All right, and with that, the Rams are gearing up for their Week 13 matchup against the Carolina Panthers. And there's only one person I could bring on that can talk about the Carolina Panthers. You guys might recognize his voice. He's from Wrestling with Ryan. It's Ryan Hernandez. How you doing?
No, after all this time, I finally get to talk about the Panthers and express my love and fandom for them, especially after, you know, having a back and forth season. Season where he definitely exceeded expectations for sure.
Ryan, give me your take on what the Panthers are, you know, having this season, what kind of season they're having, and what they can do to have a successful game against the Rams.
Yeah, so I think the Panthers are having, you know, a season that by far exceeded most people's expectations. You know, most people were saying we were like maybe at most a 3-4. Even 5-win team, but here we are. We're 6-6, 500. We're already surpassed last season's win total because last season we went 5-12, and we're just a half game out of first place. And so I think the Panthers are finally, you know, clicking and gelling, especially because of this young team that they have. And our rookie wide receiver has been one of our highlights this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think heading into this game with the Rams, I think some of the Panthers' keys to victory is they have to have their defense has to be on point. They have to slow down Matthew Stafford and the Rams because Matthew Stafford's been going on a tear as of late.
MVP candidate.
Yeah. So I think the defense has to really pressure Matt Stafford because I feel like when Matthew Stafford's under pressure, that's when he makes, you know, the little mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the defense has to really step up. And I think our offense just has to really click on all cylinders. I think we need to go back to running the football with Rico Dowdle because he's been like the MVP of the offense this year outside of our rookie wide receiver because he's currently third in the NFC in rushing yards with 788. Right. And he only ran the ball 6 times against the 49ers and it didn't work. And it's been proven that when he's run the football and he produces, then the Panthers tend to win or at least play a good game.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. And so I feel like with the Rams, I think they have to continue this momentum that we're, having right now. The Panthers, they're not a bad team, and don't let their, I think their young guys fool you. The Panthers can really surprise. They have been surprising teams all season long in terms of getting the job done, and I think the Rams cannot take them lightly.
Yeah, I think this is a potential trap game for the Rams. And so, and yeah, like you said, especially on defense, I'm not sure if our corner will be playing because he got a concussion, so I don't know if he'll be able to play. But JC Horn, he's like our an interception machine. So if he's not playing, the Rams could take advantage of that.
Exactly. Yep. And where do the Panthers sit in their division?
We're second. We're
We're
half a
second.
game back
So,
behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I mean, with the Bucks lost to the Rams last Sunday, I mean, if the Panthers could somehow get a victory, that would be huge for the team in terms of their playoff hopes.
Oh yes, for sure. Yeah, we're not out of it by any stretch. We're still in the playoff running. We're still in the running for our division,
Right.
but we do have the toughest strength of schedule remaining. So because our last 5 games, we have the Rams, 2 games against the Buccaneers, Seahawks, and then we have one more game with the Saints.
Right. So some tough cooking for the Panthers. As for the Rams, we're sitting pretty first in the NFC West. We're looking like we're Super Bowl contenders. The biggest thing for the Rams going forward, not only this game, but continuing the momentum and just staying healthy for the Rams as they prepare for December and January.
Yeah.
But yeah, but cool. I know you wanted to talk about the Panthers for a very long time. I remember one time
Yes.
you asked me if we could cover Panthers on Lace 'Em Up Sports, and I said, "Hell to the nah," because we're an LA sports only podcast. But this is your opportunity to talk some Panthers, and I know the Panthers live through your blood.
Yeah, so we gotta keep pounding on it next. It should be a good game on Sunday. So I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being a close game.
Exactly. All right, but that wraps it for the Rams report. Going back into the podcast now, guys. I want to thank you guys for joining in on what has been a great podcast. I know Ryan, you're still on here with us right now. Ryan's going to Survivor Series this Saturday. He's going to be there. He's going to be. I wanted to clarify with you. We're going to have this on the podcast here, Ryan, but you're going to be live streaming on our Instagram, right?
Yes.
All right. So be
I'll
prepared
do
for
my
that.
best. I will do my best.
Exactly. He'll do his best. Just a couple of minutes of some live streaming on Saturday Survivor Series PLE, and look forward to that, guys. Obviously, wrestling with Ryan, we're going to be recording another episode very, very soon, talking about all things Survivor Series. And thank you guys for joining in on today's LA Sports Roundup podcast. And just have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Eat as much turkey as possible. And Ryan, anything that you want?
Otherwise, Mike will eat all your leftovers. He'll gobble them up.
Exactly.
So,
Yeah.
yeah. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Have a safe and fun time with your families. And thank you for tuning in. And be sure to be on the lookout on Saturday for content on Survivor Series.
Exactly. All right. Until then, we'll see you guys.
Peace.